It's episode 244. In the meantime, I'm annoyed.
Coming to you from within a very lifelike tone control, it's the tone control. Ba-bing.
All right.
Here we are. Monday.
It's Monday, man. As it often is. Wow.
Like in life and in tone control. It's right. Almost always Monday here.
Tone control imitates life. Very lifelike.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been a time. So let's see. What did you say to me earlier today, Derek said, so what's happening on the tone control tonight? And
yeah. Oh, yeah.
My answers, I offered several examples of things that have been on my mind lately, of one of which was guitar related.
Yeah. What was it again? It wasn't the pros and cons of tuning. That was last time.
That was last time. It was that I actually played a guitar for a little bit yesterday. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, so you remember, a while ago I talked about, learning this song that's in a wacky tuning and it was really breaking my brain. And this is many episodes now.
I don't remember, but that's fine.
Yeah. I think it's a Joni Mitchell song. Anyway, Marielle wants to do it. We occasionally do a cover and make a little video kind of thing. We haven't done one in ages. She wanted to do this one. It's a tuning. So all the shapes are just totally wrong. And my head was like, ooh, just couldn't get it. And then it just clicked. And I think at the time I probably likened it to the riding the bicycle with the backwards handlebars.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now that I've got it, it's like, and then life happened. We never got it recorded and it's been months. And she yesterday, or it was actually the day before, but this weekend we had a day where we were not doing anything. And she's like, hey, I want to practice that. And I was like, oh, right. Ooh. I haven't done that at all. And I sat down and it came back in a couple of minutes.
Good.
And I was like, oh, shoot. So it's all, and that's right again. Even though I cannot remember those hand shapes, I played back the song and sort of strummed with it for a second. I was like, oh, wait, I actually do remember this.
I got it.
So I was like, all right. Yeah. So I feel like
that happened to me. That happened to me actually at practice. At band rehearsal.
What a great place. You just remember how to play guitar right in that moment.
Yeah, well, it was a song and I had forgotten. I ran out of time for whatever reason to practice our full roster. And I get to practice and I was like, well, I have played it before. I played it at a gig. I know it. It's in there.
Just got to dig it out.
But I couldn't play it for you right now kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, I know it's an E-flat tuning, but did I play it in drop C-sharp or was it just E-flat? And then you're fiddling around. No, it must have been drop C-sharp. Okay. And then it's like, this sounds right, but it's not really that right. And, it's up a fifth from there. Okay, right. And then you just sort of stumble through it. And then well, I know the chorus. And then you're really pulling for muscle memory to get you into the verse, you know?
So do you see the first chord of the verse coming down the road and you're like, I hope I think of it. And then you hit that downbeat and it happens.
Yeah, but I mean, I was just sitting there plunking it out with our other guitarist.
During a run through or something.
No,
yeah,
I was just before the run through, but it took 3 or 4 minutes to be like, is it this? No, is it this?
Yeah,
no, is it this? Yes, okay, next one. So it was Misery Business by Paramore. And if you know about Paramore music, I'm sure you can figure this out. Their guitar parts are designed in a way that are you really need both guitars playing their respective parts or else it really sounds off.
It's missing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So it's both guitars are really never in unison. So it was he knew his part and I knew half of mine, but then we got through it and, did a run and it was great. It was just such a funny thing of which drawer did I put that song in?
Oh, that's good. That's good. I was picturing you in a run, like you turn up, everybody's like, okay, we're running this song now. And Derek's in the corner, like sweating, not saying anything. Cause you must have had that experience. Like everybody's
had that experience too,
right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and then
we're usually pretty upfront about
you
it.
Don't, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We're usually upfront. Like, so I ran out of time and I didn't have, I couldn't practice today.
I suppose the more realistic time when that would happen is like at a gig and you realize partway through the song that you've completely forgotten the bridge.
Oh, dude, that happens.
And then it's like, and amazingly, a few times that's happened to me, I've remembered it. And it's like, because it was drilled in there so deeply and I was actually have played it so many times when I wasn't actively thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Then you start to overthink for 1 second.
Right. Yeah. Because that's the thing.
Where did it go?
You train yourself when you practice that much, you train yourself to be not thinking about it. And it's like a goal, because then like, who knows what's going to happen and your body's going to be able to continue without you, sort of thing. Yeah. But like, if you notice that you're doing it, it can throw everything off.
Yeah. It happened to me bad at our last gig. The first song, I kind of fumbled through. But then by the end, I had it all. You know, I had all the pieces that mattered by the end. But the first time, it was When You Were Young by The Killers.
Yeah, yeah.
Da, 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 da. That first riff, it was like, ooh, I totally just hit that with a glancing blow and we're going to move on. And
it's like, you know, a tease of the song.
Yeah, it's like, well, I knew I was a little flat here, a little sharp there. So the next time I think I'm going to try this fret instead and see if the muscle memory picks it up from there. And it did. And it's just such a weird feeling. Hmm. It's like my hands know how to do it. I just need to put them in the right place to start it. And like that little thing gets lost sometimes. But, you know.
Yeah.
Look at us talking about music stuff away.
I was just thinking, like, we've just turned the whole show on its head. We just opened with music stuff.
Man, I have practice on Wednesday, day after tomorrow. So, and my Copper Sound Gravity Bomb Special Edition came back from repair today. I didn't really talk about this, but I just, like, nuked the switch on it, I guess, somehow.
Just stepped on it, like, with your foot?
Yeah, I just, like... stepped the shit out of it, I guess. But I've been using it a lot. It sounds really great on my HX Stomp board, because it's like, just, you know, when you're clean but you want a little more level, just more that's not distorted and stuff. But I turned it on for a part and it was like, where did I go? it turned me off. Yeah. But then you could like wiggle it and it would come back and all that. So
yeah.
I sent a video to Alex. I was like, what happened? And he's like, yeah, okay.
Thing so, break.
Sent it back. He sent it back today. And now I have it. And in other news, I guess, I'm actually honestly probably going to not put this back on my board right away, because tomorrow I have the new 1981 Inventions pedal arriving, the LVL or level. I'm really excited to try that out.
Trying out a new thing.
Yeah. I got it used. So here's the thing. The DRV, you know, a Tone Control Hall of Famer, was like,
it's very popular around here.
It was like you can't get it at dealers a lot of the time. There's a short dealer list, and you can get it directly from 1981, which is really the way to do it, because he's doing cool colors and things like that. And you just get on this mailing list, and he says like, they're available now, go buy them, and you go and do that. And so for a long time they were a little scarce, so the used prices were way over new prices, like way over.
Yeah.
It's cheaper to buy one new direct from 1981 if you could. But he wasn't putting them out with the same regularity and all that stuff. So I was like, I wonder if this is going to... You all right?
Just punched my microphone. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I had to catch it to try to comfort it back into trusting me.
It's okay. Shh,
You're fine. We'll get through this together.
I was curious if the LVL was going to do the same thing. If they were going to not... be batched out the same way, if they were going to be really expensive used. And I just like was curious. I was talking to somebody about it. I was like, well, let me see. Are they around? Are people even selling them yet? Because it's pretty new. And sure enough, got it for like $60 or $70 off new. And it's such a new product that even used ones are not that old. So yeah, excited for that.
So yeah, it makes you wonder, like, what is it about DRV that...
I think it was just right place, right time.
Yeah. So you think it's just demand.
Mm-hmm.
rather than it's not like there's some like, part that's hard to find or something like that.
No, I don't think so. I think it's demand and like the scarcity of certain colors and stuff. And maybe I'll wait to see which color comes out next month. And you know, I haven't been, mine's on my board that's here at home, but I was thinking about putting it on my main board again. I have like a growing Overdrive collection, which like I like to have, but also I'm like, boy, I don't use really any of them. You know, like I'm using two at any given time.
Yeah.
But I've got way more than two. So it's kind of like, how do I pick? I just rotate them in and out for fun.
That seems like what they're for.
What happened to me here? Yes.
Yep.
Oh, hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay. Yeah, that's what they're for. They're for having fun with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Do we pivot to like the wholesome family fun part of the show?
I've got wholesome family fun that involves puke.
Oh.
I've got, what else did I say? I need to go back to general and scroll up and find what I said to you. I'm not sure. I was sort of, those were kind of throwaway things. So it was a joke. It was a Discord joke.
You had,
oh my God, a lot was said
town,
after this.
Town
this
taxes. Afternoon. I know the chat got pretty spicy this afternoon, but I liked it. I was here for it.
Yeah.
Town taxes.
Ugh.
Is it bad to keep restoring your backup each new Mac? Oh, each new Mac you buy. Okay.
Yeah, Mac computer. Yeah, sorry, autocorrect. Yep. Without one ever man formatting bands. It.
One man bands with loopers.
Yep.
Good flossing discipline.
Yeah.
How to get vomit out of a car carpet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Tell me your thoughts on one man bands. I want to go there.
Okay. So, on Friday, there's somebody, a colleague of Marielle's, so a counselor. So fairly new friend, basically, but we've been trying to get together for like a play date. They have some kids that the girl's a bit older than Aria and the boy's a little bit younger. So we all got together, they hung out, they had a great time and we're chit-chatting. So the wife's, like I said, she's a counselor. Her husband is, I think he's actually a lawyer, but I don't know him in that capacity. I know him because when we hung out together one other time, it was at his gig. So he does like like barroom gigs, just himself. And he was at a fairly nice place and just doing, you know, sets of covers, taking requests, things like that. And he does a great job. He's got a setup. He's got an acoustic, an electric, and a bass, and a keyboard, and a drum machine.
Wow. Oh my
and
gosh.
Depending on what the song needs, he'll build up a loop. He has a Ditto looper on the board, the big one.
Yeah.
Is the big
one? There's an X4, I think, of
oh,
that.
Oh, no, it's basically, like it's got one knob and two switches.
Okay, yeah.
So, and then he's got a bunch of other pedals for various kinds of effects and things. He's got a Iridium instead of having an amp around.
Smart.
And, you know, he's got a Flint, and then he's got a bunch of other, those are the expensive ones that stuck out to me. And then he's got a few other things. And then this Akai drum machine thing that he'll sometimes like build a drum beat into the looper. And he was sort of, we're hanging out. I was like checking out his studio area because he's got a little home recording thing and he's, you know, messing around with different PAs. So he had one of these Bose things where it's like a tower and stuff. I guess that had some problem and it's in for repair. And so he bought this other like Yamaha thing that's like a mixer with a couple of powered speakers. And he was like, well, now that I have more than three channels, because the Bose thing only had three channels, he's like, maybe I should be hooking this up differently. And he was like asking me questions about it. And we have this moment where we're both like sort of talking about what the other one's expertise, like, I have no idea how you do what you do because I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, for one thing, I don't know a bunch of cover songs and I definitely can't just pull them out of my head. And like, I saw him take a request that he didn't know from some, like, from somebody who was there. And he like looked up the chords on his phone and kind of like chewed his way through a verse and a chorus of it and stuff
that's
like that.
That's intense.
You know? I so, mean, that's, like, it, yeah.
Good for him. That's very cool. I was going to say, like, the one-man band thing, the acoustic guitar with a looper and you, like, smack the body and play it percussively.
Oh, okay.
Is a little, it's a little been there, done that a lot of the time. But it's also, now you're saying he's got, like, keys and a drum machine and multiple instruments, multiple fretted instruments. That's like, we're taking it up to 10, and I'm here for that.
Yeah, and so it's not like the bass drum on the back and there's a hi-hat and you're stomping your foot and stuff. It's just that he's, like, whatever's going to work for the song, he's going to sort of build it up a little bit. So I've seen him create a drum thing and then lock that in and then play the next thing. Maybe there's a bit of piano chord and lock it in. And that Ditto looper, it's just two switches. And he was he was going over, like, how, you know, you build it up and you can keep adding layers, but then you can hold this other switch down and it'll go into this mode where it actually mutes the most recent layer. So he'll basically set up the chorus and then he'll mute the chorus layer and play the verse, and then he'll let the chorus layer fall back in. So it feels the click, and then it drops back in, and it's keeping the loop going in the background, so everything stays in time. And it's boggling to me, but...
So he's not only thinking of, like, the instrumentation of this, but he's thinking in, the like, layers, like Photoshop layers almost, of his... how he applies what part when...
Right, exactly.
And in order to undo it the right way.
Lay in the keyboard chords, and then he's playing guitar, but the keyboard is going to come back for the chorus kind of thing, and he's doing that with his foot. And apparently he can, he can, like, root kind of everything through the Ditto looper, and the Ditto looper is kind of the last thing before it hits the mixer.
Some of those have, like, strange to me, but
I don't know. I guess it works.
They have multiple inputs on them now, I believe. Like, it's stereo or something?
It can be stereo. It doesn't have to be. But he was like, he has like a channel switcher kind of pedal, and then he's bouncing back and forth between this like Fishman acoustic preamp that's on the pedal board as well for the acoustic guitar, and then switching between presets on Iridium for whether it's a bass or an electric guitar.
There are so many Ditto products now. Holy smokes.
Oh, wow.
There's a version from TC Helicon that it has XLRs on it.
Oh, okay.
So there's the original Ditto Stereo, Ditto Mic, Ditto Plus, Ditto X2, and Ditto X4. Man.
Yeah. Well, he expressed to me that he did not want to use any of those things with too many buttons and switches. It's the simplicity of the control scheme that I guess makes it work.
That's cool. This was not the direction I thought this was going for the one man band. I thought you were going to, like, lean in and be like, stop banging on your acoustics because that's lame.
But no. That is lame. But
yeah, right.
No, he plays drums that sound like drums and is playing them with his fingers.
That's
on
the part.
Pads,
that's the part then, that's cool. Like you can, and he can arrange more, right? It's not acoustic guitar guy with a loop pedal is one thing, and it really kind of sounds like one thing.
Yeah.
Every song gets built up the same way. And
the versions of that I like the most are the ones where it isn't like, and here's the drum set part. It's like, it's actually just playing. It's building up layers of acoustic guitar. Maybe some of it's fairly percussive, but it's not like pretending to be a drum set. It's, you know, anyway. So that
it's like, oh, here's your four on the floor kick drum part. You know.
Okay, now let me add the snare. No.
Yeah.
Not quite. So
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it was a fun conference. And that's what I was also, I was texting you that night too about.
Because he
had picked up some, I talked about, you know, doing the in-ears and things like that. And you can skip the, you know, because we're talking about his PA kind of falling apart. He got some in-ears. He has wireless transmitters, simple little jack things for the guitar. Because that obviously makes changing instruments a lot easier. They're the kind that don't have like a body pack. It's like the whole thing kind of fits into the jack.
Yeah, I've seen those.
And he's not needing to get great range or anything, right? He's occupying like a.
It's really just to have fewer cables.
Space, but right. So he got some in-ears, but he got like the kind of kit that you'd imagine seeing. You know, he spent like $600 or $800 on like the Sennheiser thing. and stuff like that. And, you know, so it was basically like he had some interest, I guess, whoever he was asking about, what should I get for in-ears? And they're like, well, you got to get this. Everything else is garbage. Those other things are garbage. The thing that Derek's band seems to not have trouble with. And it's like, but that's...
has great success with. Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's like, I think what we were running into, so I another person that I'm not going to name and shame or whatever, but the other audio engineer person that he talks to about this sort of thing is, I guess, somebody who's rather old school about the whole thing, very against modeling amps, for example, seemed to be very old school about the process of recording and mixing in a way that, like, just when he was talking to me, he kept being like sort of amazed at what I was saying. I was like perfectly happy to edit things if they needed to be and stuff like that. And just the way I'm working with artists at home, it's okay with me if they record something and I might give them some pointers and stuff, but I'll try to do what I can with it. And I'm not going to like tell them, no, you have to use my $3,000 microphone or it doesn't sound good, you know? And
that's gatekeeping. Like that other guy is gatekeeping.
It is. And I,
yeah.
So like later in the night, I ended up saying something like, well, look, you know, I mean, if people have different opinions and they have different ways of working. I mean, if that guy's in business and this is his policies, then obviously something's working and there's a market for that. And he goes, oh, no, sure. He's not in business. No, it's very dried up for him. And I was like, oh, well, I guess you don't need any more comments from me.
Yeah.
Mr., you got to have an analog desk over there is not, Anyway.
I mean, where am I plugged? No, here's my amp.
Right well, right. That's another thing. Right, I was like, because this
I can put it on my head. I can put it on my shoulders. This little amp with my Rev. It's not like the Rev, I'm not holding a pedal up like an idiot. But, you know, there's an XLR on the back of this thing.
Yeah.
I use it all the damn time.
I mean, our conversation went toward like tube amps and stuff too, because he's never had that stuff. He kind of got into this and never had a tube amp. You know, when he was a kid, he had cheaper amps and then he kind of was doing other things with his life and eventually just was like, I don't know, should I get one of those Helix things? And kind of thought, I think he was kind of being guided maybe that he shouldn't, but also just thinking there's two paths, right? You go that path. And he thought maybe he would learn more fundamentals if he kept it a little bit more traditional. So it's a pedal board with actual pedals, but it also has an Iridium on it. Right. And so he's still modeling, but it's a little bit different. And I brought up, I mean, this something like this Rev, that would be the thing because that doesn't change, you know, he has a lifestyle, right? He lives in a neighborhood and has kids and he's not like you can't like do the loud amp thing really so much. That would really change your whole situation dramatically. But this thing is a real tube amp if you really wanted to play with that stuff and totally. Still can do the modern thing at the same time. So
I've been using the HX Stomp Rig like exclusively for my band. I'm starting
super
to bring
ideal
some other
for that.
Oh, yeah. Super idea. I may bring the Helix Floor soon as well. I'd like to have kind of everything I like to have in that just to see how that's going to feel. I might bring the Rev soon because I go into a DI box anyway.
Yeah.
So like.
That's cool.
I'm going. Right? So here's my, I don't know if I've talked about this really, but like I'm going dual mono out of my HX Stomp. One into a DI that goes into our monitor rig. And then the other goes into my FRFR cab. Just for like some room fill.
So they're just mirrored. They're the same.
It's exactly the same.
Yep.
Two signals that are the same. I could even use the through output on the DI box, I guess, technically, but whatever.
But it would be the same thing because it means nothing.
It's the same thing.
It means no difference to the computer. So.
Yeah. And so that's it.
It's
set up exactly the same way for shows. And having a little sound reinforcement on stage for shows is great. It helps just with. Just a little more and things like feedback and stuff. Cause we're getting, we're not using floor wedges or anything. So if I want like cool rock and roll sounds with like crazy loud guitar feedback, I need a real speaker on stage. That's going to be loud,
but you can't get proper feedback out of floor wedges anyway. They're not
right, but you know what I mean?
The right frequency balance.
But
if
I'm in a floor wedge situation, if I turn around, I probably have a tube amp there too, right? I'm not going to be using this other setup. So
That's the thing that ends up missing from all these setups. It's on stage or in the studio. It's like sometimes you have feedback or sometimes that's part of the sound you're trying to capture. And you end up, I've had to like do entire recording sessions and be like, well, we'll just have to save that feedback stuff for the end. And then I'll go set up an amp and we'll just do feedback. And it's like, so it,
I've seen,
it does seem a
lot
a little
of Helix,
silly, but what am I going to do? You know,
I've seen a lot of Helix users use the Digitech Freakout, which is a feedback pedal. And you can set it to all these like crazy intervals and stuff, and it feels really organic and feels really correct.
That's cool.
So I see it all the time. Like people will build a pedal board with a full size Helix, and then on one side of it is like just some stuff, like a guitar wireless thing, picks, the Freakout, right? Maybe some other odds and ends, you know?
yeah.
It's cool, man. What was I going to say? We've played with this band a couple of times, and I've seen them a couple of times before I was in my band that plays. They're doing like 412s at shows still, and they are amazingly loud, like brutally loud, too loud. They are just straight up too loud. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's like even sound guys are saying you're too loud. People are leaving shows because they're too loud. And they've been told a number of times, like, it's not good. You know, it's not.
Yeah. It's not cool.
And they,
you're
I haven't
not rebelling
really met them.
Against anything.
I haven't really met them yet, personally. But when I was, before the band, you know, before I was in this band, we're called a Blockbuster Summer, by the way. I don't think I've said that.
I just was in my head while you're talking. Yeah. I was thinking, it's starting to sound a little like you're trying not to say the name of the band.
No,
you can
I'm not.
Say the
name
of the band.
It's just, it's a Blockbuster Summer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I joined this band after it had formed, so they had an opening. And the guitarist before me like also used a bunch of modeling stuff along with the now two of us, right? There was two guitarists both using modeling. I was like, how do I say that? and they were giving, our two guys a lot of shit about not using real amps. And oh, you think we're too loud? That doesn't really mean much from a band that doesn't use real amps. Like, well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. That's stupid.
That's not that's not a comment on loudness at all.
No, it's not. And then meanwhile, every live video that hits social media that we're tagged in, it's like, boy, we sound really good. Like we sound in this crappy bar, right? In this little place across town. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
Off somebody's stupid phone recording. You know, it's.
Hey, tool bags. The thing about guitar amps that is cool is that they sound good.
Yeah.
They can be loud, and many of them need to be loud to sound good. But if they didn't need to be loud to sound good, then they would still sound cool when they were quiet. And sounding cool is much better than sounding loud.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of a, like, I think that's the part that's lost, is a little bit of that, like, being loud is cool.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like, I'm going to go stand maybe outside and, you know, and maybe leave. And it's just
like,
too much.
In my 20s, I knew somebody who, for whom the music being too loud and, like, hurting their ears was an integral, unremovable part of the experience of a concert.
I don't buy
it. And she did not. It was what she wanted. She wanted her ears to be ringing. And it wasn't good otherwise. Like, and so that's
like as an attendee to a concert,
right? Exactly. Yeah, okay. She wasn't a performer. That's what she wanted in live music. She needed it to, and it was like,
for that like visceral experience of it all. Like it's
like
so much.
That is at least as much of what she wanted from it than I like this song. You know what I mean? And I think, as I try to like create a charitable interpretation of that, right. Of that outlook, I'm thinking like she would listen to music and she wouldn't just always have the speakers cranked. So it's not like she just always needed to hear things super loud. So she would listen to quiet things and enjoy them. That's not what she was there for at a concert.
It's a live aspect of it though.
Yeah. If she saw a band live, it was like, when people talk nowadays, when we're talking about this kind of thing and whether you have a stage monitor kind of thing and it's the pants flapping kind of thing, the guitar speaker makes your pants flap. It's, it's that. It's like that from an audience perspective of like, I have to have that, it's not there.
I think you can have both, though. Like, it's not, they're not mutually exclusive. And, you know, you can, you can have that, like, intense air moving feeling of like the power of a show really be intense, but it doesn't need to harm you.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, right. I mean, that, and that would be my line, right? That'd be my demarcation point where it's like, I can enjoy loud music if it's appropriate, if it's supposed to be happening and it's not like a problem, up until where it's going to like harm me. But I would wear earplugs at, you know, and sometimes it's like it used to, I think more than now, it depended on the room and things like that. If you're in a big enough place, it just had to be this loud. And to a certain extent, there is sort of a minimum volume you can be when you're playing with a drum set, right?
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
But like when you're in a big room with, you know, at least 40 people, the minimum volume is not enough. Right. So you're always at this point, we're not playing, you know, we're not kids anymore. We're not playing in places that don't have any sound reinforcement. And you do have some sound reinforcement. So it's not like it's quiet. Like if I went to one of your shows, I would expect to need earplugs.
Yeah, I would expect you to need them, too.
Yeah.
But I would expect them to work, you know what I mean?
Right, like, and not need, like, industrial strength ones in order to...
Yeah, and I would expect them to be also, like, if you didn't have them for some reason, if you forgot them or whatever, it wouldn't be, like,
it wouldn't be really problematic.
It would just, it would be super loud and, like, you might be feeling it after you leave, but it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What a funny thing.
We've been talking for 32 minutes and haven't started the show.
I mean, this is the thing. We're doing it backwards. We're doing it backwards today. We're just formats be damned. And there's so many. This is good. This is all fine.
I like it.
It's all fine here.
What was I going to say? We're playing. We're going to try out Fat Lip by Sum 41 pretty soon.
Nice.
Which is just an absolute blast and a half to play. Sometimes I get these songs that it's like, this is just fun to play. It's fun. Like doing this motion with my fingers is entertaining. It's something about songs like, you know what I mean? It's like something about it is just like very satisfying to do the repetitive motion of it. It's good. It's like, and it's a banger. So
it's a banger.
It checks all the boxes.
Oh my God. That's great. Let's see. Let's see.
That's the new one for Wednesday.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's tag some. Now we're going to stick our ads in the middle.
I don't remember this at all. Who did this?
That's definitely you.
That sounds like something I would do, maybe.
Yeah, that's the Catalan Bread Add an Echo, which I had.
Oh, it's
at
the
one
oil
point,
can.
The oil can sim. I had it at one point, but my demo sounds entirely different. Mine's all like spooky and moody and slow. So this is a Derek version of the Add an Echo.
Fun.
So, quick mention: sign up for the Tone Control newsletter. It's new, it's fun, and enters you into our giveaway, which is going to be popping off our 10-year anniversary comes around September. I think we talked about maybe we might wait just a little bit after that, or is that gone now?
I don't know. Maybe you and I should have a meeting.
Well, because I can't remember if for a while it was like maybe we need to push it to November, but I think that was when we were having trouble sourcing the guitar.
That's what it was, when we might not have gotten the guitar until late September. We were not sure, but we have it now. It's here.
It show it off a bit to really build it up. So it's there. So the Yamaha RevStar in Tone Control Blue, not the official name of the color.
It's the official unofficial name.
It's the official unofficial name.
It kicks.
Yeah.
It's right here. I don't have any of my stuff set up, so I'm not gonna grab it. But it's an awesome guitar. You should win it.
Yeah,
get on the newsletter.
So there's a link in the right at the top of the show notes to the newsletter. If you're not on it, sign up. We're not gonna blast you with a bunch of stuff. We are gonna share signups with our other partners for the giveaway, which are not Yamaha because they don't care about us, but
nor is it Sweetwater.
It's not Sweetwater. It's not Yamaha. It is Copper Sound and Rattlesnake Cables.
Yeah, because there's going to be some cool stuff from those companies that shouldn't in the bundle, bother you maybe.
Being shared with that. So anyway, yeah. You should be on those lists anyway, so don't worry
about it. I'm not even kidding. Hank from Rattlesnake sends a coupon or some kind of sale like every 2 weeks. So like, if you want the best cables in the biz, like just get on the newsletter and wait 2 weeks maximum, and you'll have a good deal for some killer cables. So
yeah.
Speaking of Copper Sound,
next thing, I got more new sounds. What's this one gonna be?
That's a Justin demo all day long.
Yeah, it is. It is. That is the Jackson Prism.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Jackson.
Yeah.
He turned one.
The one that's your child, yeah.
The one that's my baby. He turned one in between episodes here. So I have a one-year-old now.
Uh-huh. It's official.
If that's He's melting official. Time for anybody, I feel you.
This show, it's the two-week schedule that I think tone control time passes faster than regular time. I think it's like time dilation. Mm. Tone control experiences time in like a different rate than the rest of us do from our frame of reference, you know?
Right. So, dear listener, does it feel like a year? Because it sure does for me.
Oh God, we end up talking about this sometimes, but like the things that the juxtaposition of, you know, they grow up so fast, cherish this time, and like the day you don't have to change a diaper anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to throw shade at anybody who feels strongly on either side of that argument. I think I lean more toward, I actually am totally fine. Like, I like when my kid has been growing up.
Yeah.
There's a few funny things that I kind of miss. She doesn't say words wrong nearly as much anymore. Little, and like, so I miss
adorable
that.
Things that are endearing. Yeah. And like, you know, this afternoon they came home from, Beth picked him up on the way home from work, and he was asleep, and he just like came in and stayed asleep on me for a few minutes. And I'm like, this, I'm trying to be present, be in the moment. Like, this is, I know he shouldn't really sleep on me right now, so close to bedtime, but
yeah,
I kind of don't care in this very moment.
Yeah.
You know, so stuff like that.
Right,
but at the same time, you know, as he like comes in and out of sickness, as little babies do, it'd be really helpful if he could even say a few words to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that would be really,
that's a big deal.
That would be a huge, huge difference. It'd make it a lot easier. So instead, now we just have screeching and fussing.
That's the only thing he knows how to do.
Yeah.
You're coming up on it, though.
I know. We're close.
Coming up on it.
We're close.
Yeah.
He's not walking for those playing along at home. Anyway, so.
But he does the awesome bear walk, though.
He does. And he has like a walker toy thing that he pushes behind, and he goes as fast as he friggin' can. I think it's a mental, like, he's just a little afraid of it still, but he's totally good.
One day he's going to really want something, and that walker is not going to be in reach, and it's going to be like,
this all is right. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about two new things from Copper Sound.
Three
new things, I guess, technically.
Three, well, okay, yes, technically. Two press releases from Copper Sound, because we're the Copper Sound lackeys. No, but
yeah.
But come on.
Yeah, so this came out a little while ago, and I was like, oh, great. It was in our email. I was reading about it. I'm like, so cool. Circuit bundle.
Yep.
The DIY circuit bundle from Copper Sound. And I was like, great, I'll put it in the notes, and then forgot. So now we're doing it. Now
we're doing it. This is, as I think, based on kind of the stuff that we talked about a while ago from Copper Sound, right? These sort of like build and modify bits that they, you know, the DIY section of their store, where they're making for sale some things that they use as homemade solutions as they build pedals. And now we've put them into kits, and it looks like three different kits.
You're exactly right. Yeah, so it's the like previously, or you still can. You can buy these like not a load box, but like a like a resistor box, where you can like dial in. It's on like a rotary controller, and you can change the values and see what it does in real time.
For capacitors as well and stuff like that. So you insert and them into the circuit, and then also their breadboard parts and stuff, including switch.
So it's an easy step-by-step beginner breadboard series. Right. So there are three kits available right now: a single transistor overdrive, a MOSFET boost, and a silicon fuzz. Each kit includes components, the breadboard itself, a power supply, resistor color chart, which
because you got to learn that stuff.
I would laminate and keep on my keychain probably, and a build guide. And then there's also a really great library of assembly videos up on their YouTube channel, so you can watch along step by step and learn what you're doing. What I really like is the kit is $70. It includes the components for whichever one you choose, but you can also buy other components for $12 a pack. So if you get the single transistor OD kit, you don't, and you want to do the MOSFET boost later, you don't need to buy a whole new breadboard setup and all this other stuff. You can buy just the components and put them on your existing breadboard and go to town.
Yeah, so this stuff is, this is not like learn to solder from the build your own clone kits kind of thing. Because this is like a solder-free situation. The breadboard is like a push, pinch, I don't know what, it's like pressure it's like, fit wires, yeah. Right? So these are, like you're not building a pedal that you're going to put on your board. You're messing around to learn about circuits and to have fun. And you get to learn about circuit design. Something cool that you can actually play.
Yeah, and then the next step from this would be to put it in a pedal somehow. Like you could go into that next step. But this is the first like circuit design aspect of it all.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the part that I never did. Like I got right into like soldering to a kit, to a design, following instructions, got pretty good at soldering, but I don't know why I was doing most of what I was doing, right?
You were just sort of following the instructions.
Right. The most I ever like understood was when I built a power supply, which is a fairly simple device ultimately. And I actually understood what the components I was putting in were doing. But when I'm, you know, building a pedal kit or like working on one of these amps or something with help, it was like, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know?
Right. Like why this component and not that component? Yeah. And what if its value changed by some amount, a lot or a little, what would happen?
Right.
So this is allowing you to do that kind of stuff. And I think it's awesome. And it's affordable. It's like a really good entry point financially that you can say like, do I want to try this? Do I want to experiment with this? And, you know, you're not going to be out a whole lot of money. So very cool.
I mean, the breadboard alone is like a significant portion of that cost. You're getting a nice reusable bit of kit there that you can do all kinds of fun stuff with. So
It's got the switch and the two jacks right on it.
Yeah.
It's smart. It's the next logical step for their DIY stuff.
Absolutely. I'm gonna punctuate this again.
Do it.
I've added a bunch of new things. What else can I do?
I like the new sounds. The new old sounds.
Well, I have exactly. These are all old crap that I've just been putting off entering into my soundboard. What is this one? What is this one?
All right.
Groovy.
Is this the MD500?
It's the MD5. Yeah, it's the Boss MD500. It sort of
cool.
It's a pedal that it doesn't really matter what the pedal is, but
yeah, it's like a multi-mod. Cool.
It's like a whatever. It's like a whatever thing. It's fine. I'm not whatever. Boss is fine. Boss is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So next from Copper Sound, some actual pedals is
the Kingpin. Okay, a couple and of the Iris.
Yeah, so let's start with, what do we have at the top of the press list? Kingpin is up first.
Kingpin, it's a germanium overdrive for $99. I think we can just stop there.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is what you what do you want in a mini pedal, right? So it's a one knob, it's 9 to 18 volts, which is good for like a clipper kind of distortion pedal thing. It's got three kind of levels of clipping, and then you've got a volume, so... you know, that basically means what he's done is he's stripped the controls away and in the background just gave you three presets, you know, because these switch is going to change your sort of threshold for where the clipping's going to begin. It's going to change your pre-gain, probably change, knowing Alex, it's going to change some pre-filtering and things like that, because mm-hmm. he's not going to make any of these settings sound bad. And if all you were doing was changing, you know, gain stages, then without any like filtering or anything, it probably wouldn't come out right. So three levels, mechanical true bypass. Hey, I've noticed that Alex is talking about this a lot. Mechanical true bypass.
I think as opposed to soft touch.
Yeah. Was he using a different kind before? I guess that's because do relays not count as mechanical?
I don't actually know if they do or not, but all the copper sound pedals I have are a clicky switch. They're not a soft touch.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's what he means. Yeah. Alex, text me the answer. hear this in a week, text me the answer. Germanium warmth without the price tag. There you go.
I like
it.
Great.
I'm excited to try it.
Yeah.
I knew this, the gravity bomb was coming back today. And I was like, what if there's what a little something in the vibe? What if there's a little kingpin in there? There wasn't. It's fine. I understand.
You can't just throw everything away.
You can't just like be like putting, like giving pedals. Yeah. Anyway.
Giving pedals Iris. Iris is a compressor.
Optical compressor. Yeah. Good name. So great logo. Great. Yes. Like great. It's among the greatest.
The art design on this, the control art design. So we've got basically a cutout, like a copy of the control scheme and stuff of the other thing. This one is not 18 volts. Don't put 18 volts into it.
Correct.
You don't need that for a compressor anyway. But anyway, so it's an optical compressor. Optical means that there's actually a little light in there and a photo sensor. And that's what's reacting to, like, the light is getting brighter by the input signal. And that photo sensor is what's detecting how loud your input signal is
based on the
light bulb. And so that's what's creating the lag, the delay in how long that light bulb takes to get brighter when the voltage hits it, and then the delay in how long it gets dim again after the voltage drops off. So optical tends to be slow and smooth sounding. But nevertheless, he's picked out and calibrated timings and stuff that are going to work. And once again, just like the other pedal, he's got three different selectors, you know, a little bit, a little more, and a lot more. So
I like this because it's in the flavor text here, you can read it. It's, you can get in really deep with compressors pretty quickly. Guitar compressor pedals are a little bit different a lot of the time, but you can get in into the weeds with compression. Yeah. And this is like a don't worry about it so much kind of approach. Here's some modes. Here's a volume knob. That's all you need.
And you can truly get away with that kind of thing with optical. Typically, that kind of slower, laggier compression is less audible. Like it's harder to
feel thing.
Yeah, it's like harder to kind of screw something up. It's harder to really change it. You know, an optical compressor is going to be more about evening out the level and less about, you know, the way I use compression and mixing sometimes is you're really not worried about the level being all even and squished into the same point, but you're really trying to create a difference in sound. And you're trying to give it some snap and boost the attack. When you're compressing drums, that's typically what you're doing. And even vocals nowadays, like the modern vocal sound is sort of the opposite of this. Like you're actually trying to hear it. And so this is like, and a lot of guitar compressors are like that too. I don't think it's the most common kind of effect, but usually when you hear something that's like, oh, I'm hearing a guitar compressor, it's that very quick, snappy kind of sound. And this would be kind of the other way around. It'd be just squishing your stuff to keep it all closer to the same level. And I'm sure in its most stressed out setting, you're going to hear it. But anyway.
Of course, yeah. I mean, guitar compressor pedals, you know, look at the Dynacomp or something, for example. You get something like that that's not a studio thing because you want that very clearly squished kind of sound.
Yeah.
It'll do it all. A streamlined, all original compressor design. Very cool.
Yep.
Can confirm. It is very cool. Just have to check my notes real quick.
Besides that.
Hey, what the fuck? That's it, huh?
Well, unless you guys want to hear stories about puking and taxes. Oh, there was a party on my street the other night. We could talk about that.
Oh, cool.
A party that got busted by the cops.
Whoa. What is this, a high school teen movie?
Exactly. I've never been to a party that got busted by the cops. Oh, that is not an experience that I had as a young person. I feel like it's because I made choices I would endorse today. So in yep, your face, yep. Idiots. But,
yep.
But yeah, so, and actually it was the same night we hung out with those people I was talking about. So we come home, you know, we didn't stay out super late because our kids with us kind of thing, but we got home at like 9, which is like a lot later than Aria usually goes to bed, but like whatever, we were having fun.
Yeah.
We get home. So we're hanging out. We're like watching TV winding down at the end of the night. And we're about to like go to bed like old people at like 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And my dogs are going out.
10:30.
My dogs are going out and I hear a bark and I'm like, hey, fucking cut it out. Get your ass in here. Don't bark in the middle of the night. And then, but they're like looking at something. So it's not like, they're not like barking at bunnies or something. And then we see the lights. Ooh. Out front. So then we're like, what the fuck's going on? And sure enough, my dog's barking because there are teenagers coming up basically out of the woods from beside our house, like between my neighbor and my house. And we step out on the front, like I see the cars and they're like evacuating this house. And like 30 or 40 teenagers are coming out of my neighbor's house.
Bust
and like
dead.
The cops are like,
my God,
move it, move it. And like, they're basically just sending everybody home. I think they kind of kept a few ringleaders to talk to. So we're stepping out there and these teenagers are like marching across our yard and they're like so deliberately not making eye contact with us. We're like standing on our front step and they're like,
Tell me about the decisions you've made. Walking
across the grass, which is so, and we let them go and we didn't like say anything. But then afterwards I was like, how about those kids, huh? And Marielle's like, yeah, like they were not looking at us so hard. She heard it's the same thing.
That's so funny.
We saw neighbor was watching too. It was like two houses down.
Yeah.
Is where this was. So my neighbor between, he comes out and I was talking to him like, so what the fuck, huh? And he's like, well, I was getting ready to go to bed. And there's this party is going on like right outside my window. They like spilled out into the backyard. And at that point, so he says, I texted Alfred because it's his house. I'm like, hey, you know, there's a big party going on at your house. Are you home? And they're like, we are not home. So fucking busted. God. I think it was the neighbor on the other side is actually who called the cops. But Steve.
Still, that's like such a classic.
I know.
So-and-so's parents are out of town. There's going to be a rager.
Totally. Like, and they have I think it's their oldest just graduated high school this past spring.
What a cliche.
Definitely. just such a cliche. And there was like, everybody's like going off marching down the street. A couple of kids are going up the hill. They probably lived walking distance, you know. And then there's this one girl with her purse and she's on her phone and she keeps walking back and forth and she's not getting in any car. And I'm like, she didn't drive here. She's hoping her friend comes out. She's hoping her friend doesn't get arrested. Eventually the friend comes out and they get in the car.
No.
You know? So anyway, that was wild. I mean, from a very like I'm 40 years old standing on my step kind of way. But
yeah, watching the kids get what's coming to them.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It is. I think they just sent everybody home. I don't think anybody got in big trouble. Yeah. But Alfred's kids probably got in big trouble.
That kid is fucked.
You're boned. You're done, dude.
Oh, no. Somebody's going to be mowing lawns all summer, right?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. Nothing that wild happened here. The craziest thing that happened in the last couple of days is yesterday we had more rain in a single day than I've seen, like, in my life, I feel like. Consistently rained extremely hard for hours and hours and hours. Lots of flooding.
Yep.
The river through town is like really high. lots of parts up north are actually underwater. We're in Manchester's fine for the most part. There are some spots that are not doing great. But then also we were under tornado warnings and tornado watch.
Yeah.
And like whichever one, I think warning is worse. like they're
no,
kind of
watches. Wait, is watch no, you worse? Might have it right. You might have it right. Watch is if the conditions are right. Warning is when they see one.
Yeah. So it was like intense for, and you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, tornado watch kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was busy and it ended up being fine, but I don't want to talk about the weather too much, but it was nuts. It was.
My parents are out there. They have
really?
3 weeks. Yeah, they've been out there for at least one week of their trip.
Cool.
But they were in Vermont seeing my dad's sister. And they almost got like trapped. I have a bunch of pictures from them of like narrowly getting out of the place they were before the roads became impassable from the rain. Mm-hmm. And then they were out in Maine seeing Tyler and
awesome.
So they're making the rounds and stuff too. So yeah, we've been hearing about the flooding.
It's been wild out. Like today was pretty smoky again. And
yeah, we had smoke today too.
Just a lot, you
what
know,
the fuck, it's like world.
It's super friggin' hot. It's really humid. It's just, here's the thing. I'm not hiding this detail about me anymore. I don't like summer. I'm just going to say it.
It's not your favorite time.
It is not my favorite time. I got 2 mosquito bites today in the time I was outside with my dog. It's brutally hot. It's been 90% humidity for fucking 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I got tornado warnings. I got sweaty. It's just, it sucks.
Sweaty. It sucks. I'm an adult. I shouldn't have to deal with this.
It's just not worth it. You know, I think, and when it's like this, like it is today and yesterday and the day before, I'm stuck inside in the same way I am in the winter.
Yeah.
Because it's so horrible outside. So like,
yeah.
Don't come at me with the weather's nice because it's not.
Yeah, I lean toward your side of that argument. Wife likes to, you know, how come we never use our yard sort of thing? And I'm always like, because it's sweltering.
It's 300 degrees outside. Yeah,
I feel like I've softened this summer on that a little bit. I've been a little bit more just like accepting of sometimes I'm hot I've been a little softer this year. In previous years, I've been that guy. I've been like, no, I'm not going outside. Go ahead if you want to, kind of thing. To my wife.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do what I got to do and stuff. And especially with the little one now, we got him a water table for his birthday.
Yeah.
So we're out like doing splashing in the water. Totally, definitely helps. Yeah. But it's still
just. Get a little kiddie pool. Put your feet in it.
Yeah.
Makes a big
difference.
That's
what I mean. That like I don't want to have to like accommodate myself in that way. You know what I mean? It's just God, it's tough, and I feel like such a wuss complaining about it. But
takes it off the table. Today I didn't go outside because we were, you know, when I was outside briefly, my throat got all scratchy. It's like this is bad for
me. Not that bad here, but it's not great. And it's been. I don't know. I just think there are better times to be outdoors that I would totally be outdoors for way longer than in the summer. And I'm just on record now. That's all I'm saying. You know,
there's a
quote from Bob's Burgers in like season one where Gene says, I don't like summer. There's too much pressure to enjoy yourself. And I feel that to my core, right? I am socially pressured to enjoy summer because we're conditioned because it's the only time we got off school when we were kids.
Right,
so like,
right.
You had to like it, but it's not that good. And it doesn't change the amount of time I want to spend inside playing video games. So like,
suck on that. Yeah, damn it.
Yeah. It could be the most beautiful day ever, but I still want to play Zelda.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Fucking A. Okay.
My soapbox down.
All right.
I don't know where that came from. I've just been fired up because it's like, it's been just intolerable over here for the last few weeks. And everyone's like, oh, summer. Like, in what universe is this okay? Like, why do you enjoy this? So anyway.
Okay. Let's move on then. One more thing. Yeah. Oh, he thinks he knows this one.
No, I had to find my phone.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I don't know that one at all.
The Architect by Matthews.
Cool.
I think that was a me demo. Thing of the week. Thing of the week is what we're on to now.
My thing of the week is I've been playing D&D. for the first time. Yeah. Actually for like a half a year now, I guess, maybe a little more. Mm-hmm. We play like every 6 weeks cause we're just all busy people and calendars are a nightmare. But my friend 3D printed me this D&D dice box. It's a little hard to see.
Hang on. Yeah, I was trying to, like, if you change the angle just slightly, I can see the relief. Oh, there we go. That'll do it.
So it's just, it's like the D&D logo.
Yeah, the there classic logo. Yeah.
So this is just PLA printed mm-hmm. straight off the bed. Like, I have to sand it, and I'm going to try to finish it and stuff. But in here, it's got a little magnetic closure, and it'll hold my full dice set. It'll hold a mini right here, and or two, and like a couple of pencils. And it's got magnets to close it. But what's rad is like you flip it over and then take it off this way, and you're like ready to play.
So
you
can just like
grab your dice right here. You got this because
the
felt.
Lid becomes the bottom. Yeah.
And
I love
so
it.
Then, yeah, it'll just, it kind of rattles around and stuff. But everything's in here really securely. So I guess to describe this to the listener, it's, it's a full. Seven dice in a set here, and they each have their own little compartment that they sit in, so they're not just free floating around in a box. You know those like those small dice boxes that you can get? I find them impossible to repack, and they never close all the way, and it bothers me. Right. So I was like looking around at Thingiverse, because Nick, my buddy who plays with us, has a 3D printer, and we've been talking about minis and stuff. I was like, can you print me this? Can you like check this out and see if this is something that you could do? And he's like, yeah. And so he did, and he brought it to me for Jack's party and stuff. But it's just like, how cool, right?
That's excellent.
How cool. So I'm looking forward to like getting into maybe finishing this up and like, you know, I'll sand it down. I might have to do some filler. We'll see. I've never really worked with 3D printed materials like this though. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'll try to get it going and paint it and kind of just like finish it up. So it's more real. Cause right now it does feel a little, I don't know. Like it's with all the layer lines, it feels like it could kind of come apart if dropped badly, you know? So.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I've several friends that have 3D printers. I've not gotten into it really myself, but I understand there's quite a lot to it, and people end up test prints of things, and there's different ways they structure the insides and things like that.
Yeah, the infill stuff is like, I did it with 40% infill. I'm like, sure you did, whatever. Like, I think I understand what that means.
It means how much of the inside is air and how much is struts and stuff.
Yeah, and so in my travels through social media lately, I've been getting a lot more targeted 3D printer content.
Yeah.
And it's just people printing stuff that's like, oh man, what a great little tool. What a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's just in the back of my brain, like, well, maybe I should get a 3D printer.
Right? Like, now, don't they, I think you told me this, don't they like commonly have them at the public libraries?
They do. Yeah, and we have like, one near
so
us.
So you can sort of pay a fee to use it and come back the next day for your print or whatever?
Yeah, basically. And you know, is it like a pool where you don't want to have one, but you want to have a friend that has one? I don't know.
That's kind of what I'm thinking is like I would probably have enough things that I could you know, be at the library once a month kind of thing and really make some good use of that. Because there is occasionally, like you're saying, there's something that's like, oh my God, that's perfect. And that's the only way to get this perfect thing.
Yeah.
And it's like my friends who have this stuff live in different states, right? They're friends that I like game with, you know? So it's not like I can drive across the town.
Or
you know?
You're like dealing with like, can you do this and then mail it? And then you may as well just like buy
exactly. Something. So if I could just go to the light, if I could learn enough about it and like if they're,
If the thing I download online
and it's like, this is going to work, then I could just go to the library and say, please print, and what's the charge?
I saw this today. I saw one that was for decks of cards for tabletop games, whether it's like Uno or the decks that are in board
games. It's a box.
It's a 3D printed like snap-on cage for the cards because the paper box eventually becomes destroyed just from use.
Yeah.
And I showed it to Beth and I'm like, this is solving a problem I didn't even know I had.
Right.
But I sure have it. My Uno box is a wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen people 3D printing the
Uno
inserts.
My Uno box is a wreck. Summer's too hot and my Uno box is a wreck.
Damn right, dude. You know, like the inserts for tabletop game boxes to keep all your shit organized. The people printing those things out, just shit's not rattling around.
That's what I'm thinking about now. Like, I have several tabletop games that they came with the little baggies, and it's like, it's fine. I know eventually they'll fall apart, and but in the meantime, I'm starting to get annoyed. And you know, I have a I have one of our favorite games right now has so many little clicky clackies, and getting them in and out of their bags is awful. You know, because I have to put them in a dish to use them.
Yeah, like, and you could design and print a thing that is like the dish and a lid, right? It could just stay in there forever.
And I'm sure this is designed already. That's the thing. If I go to Thingiverse right now, right. And I mean, that's the thing. The few 3D printed things I have and use that are solutions to stuff, I just had somebody on Etsy make me for $20 because they were already selling the thing, right? But at Thingiverse, I could just take a Thingiverse thing and go to the library, right? There's probably an answer to this. And it cost me a lot less, I imagine. Fuck.
I don't know. And the cost of printers has come way down. Anyway, we could.
Well, okay, so I mean, you could get, there are 3D printers that I think, like, it's not going to be a nice one, but you could probably have one for like $100 or something.
Yeah, they're like sub $300 or $400 now.
Yeah, like in decent ones in the $300 or $400 zone and up from there. But that's not the real investment, in my opinion. From watching my friends who are into this stuff, it's like, that's not where it's what's your time and to a certain extent, the materials too.
So. And your design skills and like how you do the thing. I have another friend in our D&D party has a resin 3D printer.
Oh, shit. I've seen 3D prints that are resin, and it's like next level.
It's bonkers. He's got a little one, and it is time-lapse videos of resin 3D printers are such a niche favorite thing of mine. The way it, like, it extracts this object from a pool, it's very like T-1000. Yeah. You know, it's
it's like different. It's not the little pen zipping back and forth with a melty string. Yeah.
No, it's the bed, it's inverted and it goes into the pool. And then it uses UV light to cure thin layers. But there's no layer lines because it's not printing. Because
it's melting as it's going,
Oh, God, it's so cool. But he says, like, it's awesome. It takes a long time. It smells bad. You need, you know, really good ventilation and stuff. So you can't just, like, pop one on your desk. You got to, like, really have a setup for it. But damn, they're cool. Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm gonna say my pick is Silo, which is a TV show.
Bro, we just started it.
Did you? This is gonna be spoiler free. So this is it's on Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus is a worthwhile subscription. If you just turn it on for a few months and get through some of the great shows, although Foundation is coming back. I think it's already started.
I gotta start that. Yeah.
Foundation, season one of Foundation was also next level stuff. Silo, I was super impressed by. It's not the kind of sci-fi that I often reach for kind of thing, but the recommendations were really good, and I was really happy with it. It's the character
based on the book Wool by Hugh Howey.
Right, yeah. So it's based on a book which I wasn't familiar with, so I didn't really understand the story. So there was a lot of twists and turns in it for me, which I think is a good way to be. But I think it's delivered expertly. It's patient, but not in one of those ways where it's like, you know, Lost or something where you stick it out for a super long time and the payoff isn't good. Like, the payoff is good. And you keep hitting, there are several moments throughout the season where like something big happens. It's like, oh my God, really? And then that's not the last payoff, you know, it's going to keep going, you know?
That's great. Yeah. We just started it this week.
If you read this book, you would know, but for me, I was watching it and we kept coming up with theories. Maybe it's this, maybe this is what's going on. And we didn't know.
I haven't read it either. I should specify. I have not read it, but a good friend of mine from college was like obsessed with this book.
He was
always telling me about it, and I trust his opinion on this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I saw that it was being made under a new name, but so we're two episodes in and really enjoying it.
It's kind of, I think I'm gonna, I don't know the like, I'm not familiar with the book. I think I would call it like one of these alternate history kind of stories. Although yeah. I do think it's taking place in our future, but it's hard to tell. Like there's
well, there some, can still have been an alternate past. Like it's
right. It's yeah. a, it's derived from our from an alternate past kind of thing. But it's like the technology that they're dealing with is like
it's like stunted.
It's kind of like 1980s, like early 1980s kind of computer tech. When they, you know, the silo is like a bunker. So mm-hmm. this is society and they don't know what's outside the bunker, basically.
It's got a real District 13 vibe.
It, right. It's very yeah. like, it's dystopian, but in not one of the common ways, I think. And it's, yeah. it's like, there are mysteries kind of about like, why is there technology like this? That doesn't right. quite make sense, but does it? And it's like that, that's all part of the mystery. And it's pretty yeah. neat. From a
yeah, we've been standpoint. Talking about it like, well, why wouldn't they do this? And it's like, well, yeah. okay, I guess just there's yeah. the big limitations on resources or something.
Right. And sometimes they deliver that in it's well done from the exposition standpoint mm-hmm. too, because they don't nobody just says like this, but they'll find ways to make the characters say something where you realize, "Oh my God, they don't know the word for that." Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the technology that they're talking about right now, they don't know yes, the word for yes. it, even though so I, as the viewer, do. And that's how they're revealing episode, it to you.
Episode two, they encounter water. This is not a spoiler.
Yeah.
This is just one of those details. Yeah. Like one of the characters encounters water. And I was like, oh my God, nobody in the silo knows how to swim.
Right. She's afraid of it. Why is
she's afraid of water. And she's like terrified. And I was like, oh, I get it.
How would she encounter water in that big a volume? Right?
Yeah. right? Yeah. So it's so good. I have another right. show recommendation, but I'll save it for our after show.
Okay. All right.
I'll pull Justin then, through.
Then, yeah. Well, then let's call it. Let's call it. It's happening. Uh-oh.
Oh, he's back.
He's
some
back.
Funny right. name is
some
typing.
Some funny name is turned up. Okay. Then, nothing left to do but wrap the show. So, thanks. This was a fun one. A little bit turned on its head. We talked about the what you've been doing this week at the end. You never know what we're going to do. So,
keep
thanks,
your head
everybody.
On a swivel.
Yeah, exactly. So, as always, thanks and support the show on Patreon. Like and share with your friends, et cetera, et cetera. And join the newsletter because there's going to be a big giveaway for our 10-year anniversary later in just a few months. So that's it. So patreon.com/thetonecontrol to support, and you'll have our undying thanks. And the people who are being thanked this week, this Tone Control week, are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, some funny name, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Mako Guitars, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Doug Christ of 37 Effects, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects. Thanks, everybody.
It is them. We thank them thoroughly.
We am doing of thanks. Okay, bye.
Goodbye. That's my creepy Dave impression. Goodbye.